The 18th Sunday, the feeding of the 5,000. Unless you are a keen reader of the international Catholic blogosphere, you will probably never have heard of Pax Christi Church, Eden Prairie, in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. It made the headlines a couple of weeks back because of its advertised policy of Jesus to go in an envelope. Echoing the language of McDonald's, the church posted a video explaining that communion would be available at the end of Mass. Well, so far so normal, in as much as anything is normal in these bizarre times. But then we are introduced to what I would call the takeaway Jesus. Parishioners are shown exiting church via a table, which is covered in plastic bags containing consecrated hosts, and they are exhorted to only take one to consume in their car. Why, I wondered, could the customer not take more for those shielding at home? Surely we could, in the name of compassion and in the slogan of the Golden Arches, go large. Eden Valley, of course, is just the ultimate ad absurdum of our situation. While I do not hold with the view that the imposition of our current protocols is a deliberate plot by modernists to debase the sacramental currency, I am certain that when we emerge from the current crisis, we will need to take a long, hard look at both our liturgical practice and our response to crisis and our relation with an increasingly contemptuous state. None of us are comfortable with the current indignities forced upon our worshipping practices. Ordinary parish priests have been obliged by law to close the church buildings. Mercifully, unlike the Anglicans, we have not been forbidden to enter our churches and offer private masses for our people. On the reopening, we have followed strict orders on cleaning, protective equipment, no receiving on the tongue, no kneeling, the wearing of masks, something that might have been introduced a lot earlier, and dropping the host, albeit from a millimetre or so, into the hand. We have done so out of a reluctant obedience and a concern for the health of our people. But this cannot go on, and come the reckoning, there is a big conversation to be had. May I suggest just a few of the topics? 1. There is a noticeable and unhealthy divide exposed by this crisis over the supernatural power and omnipotence of God. Accepting that Mass was not essential and that church was on a par with hairdressing and pubs in a time of plague is to relegate the divine to the realms of a hobby. 2. The ban on kneeling to God at a time when practically every secular event witnessed famous people, what they now call taking the knee, to a political movement was offensive. But we had already sold the pass on this by ripping out altar rails years ago and denying ourselves the time for reflective, adoring, grateful receipt of the Lord. 3. The ban on receiving on the tongue has, as far as I am aware, little medical support as being safer than manual transmission. Properly presented, mouth wide open and tongue out, I have personally found less contact with people's tongues than with people's hands in normal times. But, like everybody, I would welcome some serious scientific input here. There are many other areas of concern. These are just some of the headlines, brothers and sisters. And when we emerge from the indignities that we have, with albeit together and good intention, inflicted on the body of Christ, it would be a good time to review our practices of devotion, both personal and corporate. One thing had become clear, even before the onset of the pandemic. Belief in the real presence among Catholics had declined dramatically in the post-conciliar years. This will not be a coincidence unrelated to the way in which we celebrate the Mass and our demeanour and devotion in the presence of Jesus. The pandemic, with all its awful reductionism, at least gives us an opportunity to reflect on how we approach the mystery of redemption and how we communicate that to the world. Amen.